Today's daf is Samach Hey. We're going to start at the two dots, six lines down. And we're going to finish up with birds, and then we're going to move on to the grasshoppers. Aval Amru Chachamim Kol Of. So before we read the Gemara, I'm going to read the Mishnah. I'm just trying to find what page it's on. Nun Tet, Amud Aleph. Because we're going to compare. It's basically, I want you to see that it's just another version of what appears in our Mishnah. They're going to quote a Braita with another version of our Mishnah with a little, some added extra parts. So if you remember in the Mishnah, it said, "V'simaneh of lo ne'emru, el amru chachamim, kol of hadores tameh." Remember, any bird who, again, a lot of definitions, what exactly an of dores is not kosher. And then kol sheyesh lo etzba yitera v'zepek v'kor kovno niklaf tahor. And then it said, right, and the question was, what's the connection between those two things? On the one hand, it said, if it's a dores, it's tameh. And then it says, if it has these three simanim, it's tahor. So Rashi said that the connection between these two sentences is that if it's not an of dores, that's kol of dores tameh, you've already eliminated them. Once you've eliminated an of dores and you're left with someone who's not dores, then you have to check if he has these other simanim. Rabbeinu Tam has a different interpretation. His interpretation is that you can, and according to Rashi then, it can't have the siman of of dores. Right? That's the basic assumption of Rashi. According to Tosfot, he has a bit of a different understanding. I'm sorry, Rabbeinu Tam, he says, I just have to refresh my memory for a second. But according to Rabbeinu Tam, his approach is that if you don't know if the oaf is dores or not, then you check the other three simanim. If the other three simanim are there, then that's an indicator that it's not dores. Okay, we talked about that when we saw it on the Nuntet. So then that becomes your indicator, which makes sense in the sense that we already said that you don't need all three simanim. So from the pshat here, it almost sounds like if it's not dores, then you have to make sure it has all the other three simanim, which means it basically needs all four simanim. So Rabbeinu Tam's interpretation works well because Rabbeinu Tam is basically saying that's right. Either it's if you don't know whether it's dores or not, then you check the other three. If they're there, then you know that it's not an of dores. But otherwise, you know, there's other options also. okay, now we're going to see different approaches. Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Tzadok Omer, Motchin lo chut shel mishicha, im choleket raglav, shtayim lekan tameh, shalosh lekan ve'chat lekan tahor. Most birds have four digits. And then the question is, right, how, you know, some have all four in the front, some have one behind, right? That was one of the things we talked about, one of the possible parshaniyot of etzba yitera was that it comes out from the back. But either which way, what he says is the kosher birds split their legs. If they would hang on a string, it would be three and one and not two and two. So if it's two
it's
and
like
two.
The birds wraps this thing.
Exactly.
Like you're holding a
parrot, right, and it wraps it around your. Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Okay, so shalosh lakan ve'achad lakan, then it would be a siman of a tahor bird. Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar Omer, kol of hakolet min ha'avir tameh. If it grabs its food while it's flying in the air, then it's tameh. So now they say, tziporta nami miklat kalta, but wait, there's this bird called the tziporta, who also grabs its food in the air. So, and it's known to be a kosher bird. What we're talking about is it grabs its food while it's flying, while it's in the air, and eats it while it's in the air. Whereas the tziparta grabs its food while it's in the air, but brings it to the ground and eats it while it's on the ground or on something. Another option, as that was a break in the Braita, right? We were reading the Braita with all these different opinions. We stopped in the middle to question that opinion about the kolet bin ha'avir. Now we have acher momim shachen im tmeim tamei im tahorim tahor. This sounds like oil rasha oil shchino, right? So if it dwells amongst the tmeim, the non kosher birds, then it's a sign that it's a non kosher bird. This is a very interesting siman, right? And if it dwells with the kosher birds, then it's a kosher bird. Kimon, who does this go according to? Right now, again, the Braita ends, and they're questioning this. Ki Rabbi Eliezer, Tanya Rabbi Eliezer, Omer. There's another Braita where this you see this kind of principle in action, and that's why it shows that this fits with Rabbi Eliezer, who disagrees with Chachamim about the Zarzir. Rabbi Eliezer thinks the Zarzir is like the Orev, and it's forbidden, and Chachamim say the Zarzir is not like the Orev, and it's not forbidden. So Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Lo lechinam halach Zarzir etzel Orev, ela mipnei shehu mino. So we say it must be that the Acherim who say, if you're Shachenim Tmeim, you're Tameh, must follow Rabbi Eliezer, because he says that the Zarzir, his whole proof for against Chachamim, how he knows the Zarzir is Tameh, is because he says the Zarzir lives with the Orev, with the crow, and therefore that proves, right, Mipnei Shehumino, that it's just like, remember we learned that Ha'orev Lemino, the Kol Orev Lemino, the Lemino included the Zarzir according to Rabbi Eliezer. So he says, there you have it, because he lives with the Orev, that's how we know he's Tameh. So therefore, we can assume that the Acherim matches Rabbi Eliezer and actually doesn't match Chachamim, because Chachamim don't think the Zarzir is Tameh, even though he dwells with the Orev. So now the Gemara wants to say, no, Acherim can even fit with Chachamim. How so? Afilu Tema Rabbanan, Shachen V'nidme Ka'amrinan. It's not enough, okay, now we're going to change this whole seemingly strange principle that if you live with the Tmeim, you're Tameh. It has to be both that you live with them and that you look like them. Nidmeh, meaning from Lashon Domeh. You have to look like them. So that's the debate. In other words, Chachamim say, right, that the Zarzir might live among the Orev, but that's not enough. It would need to also look like the Orev, and it doesn't look like the Orev. So therefore, in the end, we could say that Chachamim could match Acherim, and they would say, if Shachem vin Nidmeh, then it would be Tameh, and that's really what Acherim are saying, according to this interpretation. That is, again, these are two possible interpretations. Is it enough just to dwell, in order to say we can assume you're Tameh, just like the Tmeim, or Tahor, like the Tohim, or do you also need to look like that type of bird? Okay, now we're moving to the Chagavim. Uba Chagavim. Kol sheyeshlo. Okay, so let's go back again. The Mishnah, Nun Tet, says, Kol sheyeshlo. There's four simanim. Arba raglayim. V'arba knafayim, right? Four legs, four wings. V'kartzulayim, these jumpy legs in the back, okay? These two extra legs that they use for jumping. U'knafav chofin et rubo. And its wings cover the majority of its body. Okay? Rabbi Yossi Omer, u'shmo chagav. Okay, he adds, and its name is chagav. We're going to see exactly what that means later on in the Gemara today. Okay, pass me Tanakh for a second right here. I just want to read you the psukim about the Chagavim. This will be a good intro before we start reading. So it's in Vayikra Yud Aleph. Okay, pasuk kaf. Kol sheret ha'of ha'olech al arba sheket hu lachem. All shratzim, this is where we talked about the other day. Ha'olech al arba, is that the defining feature that it has four, and in which case that two, that mini bird we talked about couldn't possibly be a sheretz because it only has two legs, or maybe not. Maybe it's not only, but that's a description. Okay, so one it's sheketz, meaning you can't eat it. Ach et zet tochlu mikol sheretz ha'of. Okay, but there is something you can eat from the sheretz ha'of. Ha'olech al arba. Asher lo kra'ayim. Now, you don't have the text in front of you, but I'll tell you right now, lo is spelt, lo could be spelt lamed vav, which means it has, and lo could be spelt lamed aleph, which means it doesn't have. So, how is it spelt here? Take a guess. Both ways. Okay, how so? It says lamed aleph, but the, right, it's a kriyuchtiv. It's written lamed aleph, but it's read lamed vav, okay? Meaning it has legs. Asher lo kraim is the way the Masoret says to read it, even though the text says it doesn't have, which is quite odd. So let's just read it. Asher lo, we'll read it the way the Masoret says to read it with a vav. Asher lo kraim, that he has these legs mima l'raglav l'nater bahen al aretz, right? The pshat makes a lot of sense that it's with a lo, with a vav, because it doesn't make sense it would be with an aleph, because it's saying it has these extra legs that he uses them l'nater bahen al aretz, to jump around, right, to help him jump. So there the definition of the jumping legs is explicit in the psukim. Et ela mehem tochlu. Now it gives you a list of what to eat. This is in the theme of what we saw the other day. Better to write the short list, right? So here's the short list. These are the ones you can eat. Et ha'arben lemino, ve'et ha'sal'am leminehu, ve'et ha'chogol leminehu, ve'et ha'chagav leminehu, which is four, which we might say sound, right, is really eight, because each time it says leminehu in that theme before. Naomi told us before class from the lecture the other night that I mentioned in class that they talked about that there's basically 25 types of grasshoppers and only one of them really is kosher. I assume it's just the ones mentioned here maybe aren't. I don't know. I don't know exactly how that is. But anyway, now it says, okay, that's basically the end of the psukim that we're going to see for today. Okay, and that's the end of the section. It just says, V'chol sheretz of asher lo arba raglayim, sheketzu lachem. Okay, and then it just repeats about the four legs. Right? Why it repeats that, I'm not exactly sure, because it's right. It seems like it's framing the section, because it kind of ends with the same pasuk as it started with. Okay, so now we're going to go back to the Gemara. So one of the things was the knafayim have to cover the majority of the body. So now the question is, majority of what? Okay, my rubo, Amar Rabbi Yehuda Amar Rav, rov orko, the majority of the length of the grasshopper. Va'amre la rov hekefo. Some people say the majority of the circumference of, right, which I assume means the sides, covering the sides of the grasshopper. So Amar Papa Hilkach, by the way, Rav Papa does this a lot of times. Okay, this comes up in some sugyas about brachot. Someone says one bracha, someone says another bracha, and he says, let's say both, let's use both lishonot. Okay, he says the same thing here. Hilkach be'ina rov or ko be'ina rov hekefo. So we're going to say, in order for it to be kosher, it's going to need both signs, both rov of the length and rov of the circumference. Tana Rabbanan. Ein lo achshav. He doesn't have right now these simanim, but atid legadeh la'achar zman, kegon hazachal. Okay, so if he doesn't have right now the wings, let's say that the wings are very long, or he doesn't have wings at all, but he will, over time, develop, right? As we know, these things morph into other, right, more have different stages of development. Kegon hazacha, like the zacha, which the Gemara is going to ask in a minute, what is the zacha? Mutar, okay, it's allowed.
Rabbi Lezer, once it's morphed, or even from the beginning, if you know it's going to?
Sounds like from the beginning. Even if you know it's going to, that seems to be the pshat to me. It sounds very clear, because once it has the wings, then it doesn't really matter. Obviously, it's fine. So I assume they mean at an earlier stage.
Only if you know at the early stage.
Right, if you know exactly. You'd have to know that it's going to. What they mean here, by the way, according to the Mefarshim, is that it's talking about the jumpy legs in the back. If it doesn't have those jumping legs in the back, but you know that it will develop those jumping legs, then it's okay. It actually wasn't talking about the wings from what I see. Okay, how do we know this? And we'll see why in a minute, why that's obvious. Because they're going to darshan the pasuk, the lo, asher lo kra'ayim, and asher lo kra'ayim. Maybe you can already guess where they're going with this. Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Yossi, Omer, asher lo kra'ayim. Now, since it says lo, it has, and it also says lo, it doesn't have, what does that mean? Okay, so that could be a way of explaining it. It doesn't have, and yet it does have. How could that be? It's both. My zachal, what is this zachal? I'm rabbi, this doesn't really help us. Iskarin, okay, it's what we know, right, what the Emoraim knew as an iskarin. Tana Rabbanan. Now we're going to have drashot on this pasuk. What are the different types of grasshoppers? This isn't going to help us so much, although I'll pass around the Koran if anyone has access to it. They have a lot of pictures of what they claim these different types of grasshoppers are. Because I don't know so much about grasshoppers, and the names don't really mean so much to me. And I'm guessing most of the listeners don't know about all these types of grasshoppers. I'm not going to go into details of them. But one can try to find the Koran and look in the pictures there, and they describe all the species and what they... another reason why I'm not going into this is all conjecture. Like, it's clear, they say, you know, we're not really sure. Okay, Tana Rabbanan, et ela mehem tochlu et arbe v'chule. Right, we saw there were these four types. Arbe ze govai. Okay, that's probably like a, what do they call it there? A desert grasshopper or a, forget, in the Quran they have a good, do you see it?
Yeah, it's a general term for many types that form swarms.
Okay.
It doesn't have a particular.
This doesn't. Okay. So this sounds like the basic type of grasshopper, I would say.
Like a locust.
Right. Like a locust. I think they say it's common in this area, and it lives in... it lives in... Like it goes around the fields. Okay, let's go by. Salam ze rasham. Chargol ze nipol. Chagav ze gdian. Okay, we're going to see. Some people say it's gdian. Okay.
Gadian.
Okay, so now, even though we're not exactly going to pay attention, I want you to just note which one matches with which, because later we're going to see a braita that has different interpretations here. So Arbe is Govai, Salam is Rashon, Chargol is Nipol, and Chagav is Gideon. Matamu lomar lemineu 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 lemineu. Why does it say those four words? Arba pamim lahavi. So it's to include another four cases. Siporet kramim, okay, which seems to be a grasshopper that hangs out in the vineyards. Yochana Yerushalmit, okay, it sounds like someone's name. Vehar Tsuvia, Veharazbanit. Okay, and again, another four types of grasshoppers that must be similar in type to the other ones. Debe Rabbi Ishmael Tana. Okay, here's a different brayta now. In the house of Rabbi Ishmael, this was their brayta. Elu klalei klalot ve'elu pratei pratot. Okay, what that really means to say is we have a klal uprat uklal. How so? So let's go back to our psukim. What did it say here? Et ze tochlu mikol asheretz ha'olech al arba asher lo kra'ayim imal araglav l'natel behem al aretz. That's already a klal. In other words, anything that jumps, that has these back jumpy legs. Then it says ve'et ha'arbe, which is a prat. And then it says lemineu, which is a generalization. So we have a generalization, a specific, and then a generalization. Then we're going to have again, v'et ha'sal'am, again a prat, and then lemineu. And then again a prat, and then lemineu. Okay. So, what do we do when we have a klal uprat uklal? We say it includes anything that's like the prat, right? So, anything that's like the detail, we're going to include. So, now they're going to have a long, because we have a number of pratim here, we're going to give a number of generalizations here, of, you know, where we take the prat and we make a general rule about it. Arbe zegovai. So, that's the specific. And then, limino lahavi siporet krami. So that's just saying, okay, so the arbez, the govai, lemino means the tziporet kramim, like we saw before. Ein li ela haba ve'ein lo gavachat. Haba ve'yesh lo gavachat minayin. Okay, first we have to explain what's gavachat. Gavachat seems to be that it's not bald. Okay, now it seems weird. You would think it would say it has hair, right? You wouldn't say it's not bald. Okay, so... the reason why they say that is because the assumption, again, this is one interpretation I saw, the assumption is that a standard grasshopper is bald. So therefore, it's unique in this case, right? If we were talking about a person, you might say the person has hair because that's, you know, but the grasshopper, what we're trying to say is it's unique that it's not bald because bald is the standard. So since this one has these little, apparently they have these little hairs on top of the head and it's not smooth. So, ein lo gavachat. So therefore, we're going to say anything, ein li ala hababa ein lo gavachat. Hababa yesh lo gavachat minayin. Where are we going to learn though? So again, if we take this klal uprat uklal, what would our bet teach us? Our bet would teach us, ein lo gavachat is going to be one of the categories, right? So it's not bald, okay? So now we say, okay, well, what if we have a grasshopper that is bald, right? Yesh lo gabachat minayin. How do we know that that's also a kosher type? Talmud lamar, sal'am zet nipol lemineu labieta ushchaf. Okay, so now they're going to say, again, you have to understand what these types are, but the assumption is sal'am doesn't have a gabachat, I'm sorry, has gabachat, meaning it is bald. So sal'am is going to teach us yesh lo gabachat is also included. Okay? Which basically means that that's not a way to reject the animal, because obviously we're giving both types here. Okay. Haba v'yesh lo gabachat. V'en lo gabachat. Haba v'yesh lo gabachat. Okay, so now we're going to start again. So right now we have haba v'yesh lo gabachat. Okay, that's included. But now, sorry, I didn't read it right. Ela, v'en li ela haba. Oh, sorry. So... I didn't read it right. Let's start again. So, habavi yesh lo gabachat minayin, right? So we said, salam zeni pul lemineu laviyata ashchaf. That's the end. Now the next stage is, okay, so at this point, ein li ela habavi ein lo gabachat. Haba v'yesh lo gabachat. So now I have ein lo gabachat, number one. Yesh lo gabachat, number two. What about haba v'ein lo zanav? What if the grasshopper, by the way, I assume this haba means he shows up on the scene. You know, you see a grasshopper. It's a little strange usage, you know, why they have to say that. But anyway, haba v'ein lo zanav. Okay, where are we going to learn that from? Sorry, I didn't read that right again. Havava yesh lo gabachat and havava ein lo zanav. All of these also don't have a tail. So therefore, we now know from the first two, the arbed, the sal'am, and just those two, we know three things. Ein lo gabachat is going to be included in kosher ones. Yesh lo gabachat, none of these are criteria to postulate. Ein lo zanav, neither of these have a tail. Therefore, that's also not included. But what about haba v'yesh lo zanav minayin? How do we know that a kosher grasshopper could also have a tail? Talmud lamar hargol. Okay, hargol teaches us yesh lo zanav is also. Okay, these are all our klal u'pratsu klal, where we're going to learn whatever's like the prat. Talmud lamar hargol ze rashon. I want to point out a few things here, by the way. I didn't say this earlier. Sal'am zenipol. In the first version, we had Hargol is Nipol and Sal'am is Rashon. And in this version of Rabbi Yishmael's Braita, they're flipped. That Sal'am is the Nipol and the Hargol is the Rashon. Okay, so there already it's flipped. And the cases they bring, the Karsefet and the Shachlanit, are not the ones that they brought up in the other Braita. Okay, so there's clearly debates among the Tanaim about what grasshopper is which, and which are the extra ones that are included. But that's not the point of our bringing this right now. Right now we want to get all the klalim. Ve'ein li ela, so now at this point, what do we have? Haba ve'ein lo gabachat, haba ve'yesh lo gabachat, haba ve'ein lo zanav, haba ve'yesh lo zanav. So now we have four, right? It basically what we're saying is it doesn't matter if it's bald, if it's not bald. It doesn't matter if it has a tail or if it doesn't have a tail. But what about haba ve'ein rosho aroch? What if its head isn't long? Oh, I'm sorry. And it includes haba ve'ein rosho aroch. Because all of these are ein lo ein rosho aroch. Okay? All these don't have a long head. Okay, if you want to see a picture of a long-headed one, you can look in the Koran. They show what a long-headed grasshopper looks like. So now we want to know, what about haba v'rosho aroch minayin? How do we know that if it has a long head, it could still be a kosher grasshopper? Amar tareat haba da binyan av mishloshtam. We already said that we're going to learn from these three types a binyan av. Remember what that means? That means we can learn here a general rule to other things. Even though it's not exactly a binyan av, because in this case it's a klal u'prat u'klal. Binyan av is usually, it's mentioned once, so we're going to learn from there to everything. Here we're learning it from a different type of thing, but anyway, they call it a binyan av. It means basically we're going to learn from these to everything. Lo re'i arbeh kere'i chargol, v'lo re'i chargol kere'i arbeh, v'lo re'i shnehem kere'i sal'am, v'lo re'i sal'am kere'i shnehem. Right? None of these are similar to each other. Okay, right? Everything that's in one, right? Certain things that are in one aren't in the other, as we've seen. Hatzara shavesha behen. So what's the common denominator between the three? Sheyesh behen arba raglayim v'arba knafayim v'kartzulayim v'knafav chofen et rubo. And therefore, right, here's our basic klal u'prat u'klal combination of all of these. Av kol sheyesh lo arba raglayim v'arba knafayim v'kartzulayim v'knafav chofen et rubo. Which basically means we don't care whether it has a long head or not, even though none of these have a long head. Again, we want to take these examples and say, oh, these are the examples, just these, nothing else. But since it's a klal u'prat u'klal, we're going to learn it's not just those, but anything that's similar to those. And therefore, we come up with the least common denominator, which is those four things. And therefore, anything that's like that is going to be kosher. Of course, they're going to ask now. They're going to have a question on this. They're going to find one that seems to have those four and isn't kosher. V'haloa tzirtzur, which is a cricket, hazeh, yesh lo arba raglayim, v'arba knafayim, v'kartzulayim, v'knafav chofin et rubo, yachol yehe mutar. So now, wait. Here we have one that seems to have all four, and yet it's not mutar. So how could you say that? Right? So you think it's mutar? Again, they're using their reality of what they know, that nobody eats crickets. So, Talmud lamar, chagav, sheshmo chagav. It has to have, why did it say chagav? And this explains what we saw in the Mishnah that didn't make so much sense, where Rabbi Yossi said, ushmo chagav, meaning its name has to be chagav, right? We thought he was saying, oh, and the way we call these grasshoppers is chagav. But now what he's saying is, it's describing another siman, basically. It has to be called a chagav in order for it to be kosher. Okay? So, now, first of all, some people explain that this means that all kosher grasshoppers have to be called, and chagav is a specific type grasshopper, but it's also a general word used to describe a whole group, or maybe,
species.
Right. Well, is it species, though? I feel like the grasshopper is the species, but a type of species, you know, subspecies maybe within a subgroup of grasshoppers. So that's one option, and therefore all of them have to come into this category. Others explain, no, what it means is if it's Rosho Aroch, it's only going to be kosher if it's called a chagav. But you could have ones that aren't Rosho Aroch, and they're not called chagav, and they'll still be kosher, because what they're only talking about here is one that has a Rosh Aroch. And therefore, within the Rosh Aroch category, it has to have the name chagav. So there's a debate about how to read this line. Ishmo chagav, if it's called chagav, okay, so then what are you saying? As long as the name is chagav, it's going to be kosher. Yachol ein bo kol simanim halalu. That's, maybe you're going to say, well, even if its name is chagav, even if it doesn't have the simanim, is that sufficient? Talmud lamar lemineu ad shehebo kol simanim halalu. They use the word lemineu in a different way than we used it in the previous section, right? In the bird section, we said lemineu just means one extra counterpart. Here, by the way, we use lemineu in general to say it's a klal, which is going to then include all these things. And here we're using it to say it has to, lemineu means it has to have all the simanim of these four grasshoppers. And therefore, we're going to say that having the name chagav is not sufficient. It's just enough to say if it has the four simanim, again, either if it has the four simanim, it also has to have the name chagav, or if it has the four simanim and it has a rosh aroch, then it needs to be called chagav in order to be kosher. Parach Rav Achai. So Rav Achai now asks a question. Ma lahanach she'ein roshan aroch? What about, one second, he's now asking. Right, all these four don't have Rosh Hashanah Roch. So why don't we say that Rosh Hashanah Roch is not a siman of a kosher grasshopper? Okay? And maybe the Rosh Aroch is dafka a problem, right? Because if none of these have it, that's his question. In other words, again, we're trying to say in a klal u'pratu klal, what do? We take all the things that are common to them and say that teaches us about others. So another thing that's common to them is that none of them have a long head. So now he says, v'chitema, he wants to suggest, kevan deshavu v'arba simanim, maitinam v'lo perchinan. Right? Since they come, anything that has these four simanim, we can bring those and say we can include them, and there's no question on that. But if that's the case, ihachi chargol nami deshavalehu lo lichtov v'teite me'arbe v'salam. He says, but then, if you don't need, one second. Right, so if that's the case, notice we learned our klal, all the things that are unique to them from the first three, right? We didn't, here they're going to say the chargol, right? If that's the case, that you needed all those criteria, you could have said, chargol nami deshavalehu lo lichto v'titi me'arbe v'salam. You could have learned about the chargol, right, from the arbe and the salam, which has all the four simanim, right? Four legs, all the things with the two jumping legs, etc. So therefore, why does it add that, right? So we're going to say, if you're going to say the whole reason to bring these four were to teach you the klalim, well, you didn't really need all four because you could have learned them from our band salam and you wouldn't need chargol. Right now they're just talking about three, you know, two out of three you could have brought. Ela, but why can't you say that? We already know this from the Brayta of Rabbi Yishmael. Eli kalamifrach malahanach she'ein lahem zanav. Right? Remember we said the chargol adds, because all of the previous ones didn't have a zanav, and the chargol has a zanav. So you did need that one. Hachinami ikalamifrach You can also, though, further say, Malahanach Shekain Eim Roshan Aroch. So then you could say, what about these that Eim Roshan Aroch? And therefore, how are you going to learn that Rosho Aroch could be kosher? So El Amar Abachai, Salam Yeterehu. Salam is really extra. Why? Lo lichtov rachmana salam v'tite meharbeu chargol. Demai parachta, mal arbe she'en lo gabachat, hare chargol d'yesh lo gabachat. Ah, wait a minute. How did we build this? And this is why I put it on the board. Arbe en lo gabachat. It's not bald. Salam, yesh lo gabachat. So salam added the extra thing about yesh lo gabachat. And then chargol came to say even yesh lo zanav. But chargol happens to also be bald. So you could have really had arbe and chargol, and you would have learned from chargol, bald and tail. So therefore, that's unnecessary. Hare arbe de ein lo zanav, right? So now you would have, arbe doesn't have zanav, chargol has a zanav, arbe ein lo gabachat, and chargol has gabachat. So that would have already included all the things we wanted to include. So salam de katav rachmana lamali. So then what do we do with this extra salam, which is l'chora unnecessary? So now we use an imeno inyan, which we've used very, very often, which means you think something's coming to teach you what it seems like it's teaching you. A salam should be teaching you whatever's true for a salam. But since there's no need to learn what a salam is, that yesh lo gabachat, because we already can learn that from chargol, again, already isn't in order, right? Doesn't matter the order, chargol comes later, but it doesn't matter. The point is, since we can learn it from chargol, salam is unnecessary. If it's unnecessary and it's still there, it must be coming to teach something else. So it must be coming to teach Rosho Aroch. Okay? That's it for today.